You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
There is a place where time stands still, where nature is harsh and demanding, where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my gun.
Took it in the guts, Barry.
Far away from my...
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country.
Good morning, Annie here for Showreel. Today we're chatting to expatriates Sarah Jane Portelli and Ivan Malikan about their film After the Act. If you'd been listening to Showreel for a while, you might remember the last time we spoke to them was when they were screening a film in the Melbourne Maid Festival such a long time ago. Since then they relocated to Malta. And they made a film called The Cats of Malta, which made a bit of a splash. And now they make Europe their home base. As with all their films, After the Act is squarely rooted in traditions of art house and slow cinema with a strong dash of observational intimacy. They're back in town and are screening After the Act at our very own Eclipse Cinema in Collingwood at 7 p.m. tonight. That's the 11th of December. There will be a Q&A. I chatted with Sarah Jane and Ivan from Vienna before their return.
I spoke to you a long, long, long time ago. You probably don't remember. Before you went over to Malta and had a very exciting life making things like the Cats.
We do remember.
Cats of Malta. I've watched your what you've been doing with great interest. And when you created this new film, After the Act, I watched it with great interest and it is a very affecting film, I have to say. So tell me about this move towards making a feature that's so emotional, effectively.
Well, we've always been interested in really human stories and the whole gamut of emotions, especially humans dealing with relationships. It's like we used to watch a lot of mumblecore back in the day, Joan Swanberg films.
Even Australian Jupiter's, ones inspired us.
Yeah, Sophie Townsend, an Australian filmmaker. So it's something that we've always been fascinated with. When we're not making documentaries about cats, we're usually doing relationship dramas.
Well, the thing about it is that that earlier stuff would have opened up a whole observational approach, which is quite apparent in this film. It's also about the timing, waiting for people to actually expose themselves. It's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Exposing themselves.
Well, yeah, we wanted to just follow.
Emotionally, I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. We wanted to kind of take our time and follow just a couple going through the ordinary routine, like just a regular day in their life. We didn't want to rush into anything, so yeah, viewers do need a little bit of patience before the actual plot kicks in,
especially at the start.
But that's like that's what we enjoy, and hopefully the responses we actually got so far. We actually had a screening in Vienna last night and like the crowd was really appreciative, so
yeah,
hopefully this really resonates with people.
And I think the slowly what you said about exposing yourself, I think that there's little things come out, and when you think about it later you think, oh, but that happened and this happened, especially with the character of Becca as well. You try and see where she fits, and as well with between Mia and Sam, and is she a good person or bad person, and all these little things come out, even for the other characters as well, for all the characters, like they slowly expose different sides of themselves and different emotions, and they go through different arcs as well. So that's what we find interesting.
Well, the plot is actually quite straightforward. After the Act also sets up a suspense in a sense. But when it is revealed that it's an incredibly personal portrayal, many people will respond to that with personal knowledge.
Yeah,
we got that yesterday at the screening. They said it was very emotional and they felt made them feel a lot of emotions, but also they said it's very relatable. It could happen to any of us. So
Yeah.
That's what we got yesterday at the screening, so that was good.
I say there's good sides to love, but unfortunately there's also bad sides to love also. There's lots of poor relationships.
But there's also different
So
ways that we react to news as well, and how we go through different stages of it as well. At first, we might be taking it in, like Mia does. She's quiet. She goes for a walk, and then she starts to explode. And then she's going through different things. Then she goes through revenge and all these other emotions and breakdown. So there's all different views of themselves as well.
Ivan, you're credited with being the writer, and it's quite apparent in the film that the actors are a great part in creating their own roles. Because there's a real sense of them being in very present in their roles. So tell me about the development of the script.
Exactly. That's always funny. I am like credited as a writer, but then I always kind of question that, like, because we actually do improvised work. So we do actually come up with the outline of the story, and we know the kind of the key moments in the story. But to actually get from point A to B, we leave that up to the actors. So in a way, you could say the actors could be credited as the writers also, because that's all their own original dialogue. So.
What you did write was the short film, because it was based on a short film. So it's an extension of a short film that we made that Ivan shot by himself, actually. And he wrote the short film. And then we thought, whoa, what's going to happen next with Mia and Sam? So then we took that a bit further and we made it into a feature.
And Sarah Jane, you're credited, besides being the director with Ivan, you're credited with creating the space. You know, being the set dresser, being the person who actually creates the physical world that we're in. Tell me about that process, because it's beautiful, actually.
Well, I couldn't. Well, we got a big apartment for the Berlin apartment, so you could see that Sam's obviously doing much better than Becca is doing. So there's that distribution, shift that you see. Okay, Mia and Sam are in this big thing, and they're always separated. There's always some distance between them for most of the film, and then you have Becca walking around in this like 2-bedroom thing, like she's a rat in a cage. So, and then with that, it was just working with mostly what we could get, what locations we could get. But I also did the costumes. We didn't think too much about it. Like, I worked more with Mia's character. So I got her, like, that red jacket was my leather jacket. It's right here now. So just working with the colors. And we ended up with a lot of red, which is quite powerful because it's the color of emotion and passion and also, yeah, danger and things like that. And I wish I did better with Sam's costume because I think he looks a bit like, maybe that works for him. He kind of blends into his apartment a bit with his neutral tones. But we wanted more like a neutral kind of color palette. So even the titles are a bit like an apricotty, like creamy color. More earthy tones, greens, reds, and neutral colors. And actually, the pillowcases in the bedroom ended up being red because that came out in rehearsal. Because I said to them, "What would the room look like?" And just, I mean, and the character of Mia, the actor Laura, said, "Oh, they'd have red pillowcases." So I put red pillowcases in the room, and that sort of brought out the color tone. And the scene where they're upside down and you see them on the bed actually became the poster. See, there's a lot of red in the poster as well. So I think red was our color, neutrals and greens. So yeah, just working with that, like with the space that we had in Berlin, trying to get nature in as well. So we had a few outdoor shots, which were nice to get that in again, neutral tones and colors. It was pretty, yeah, it was pretty like easy for me to do that. And the actors helped with some of the costumes as well. Like Becca's costume was mostly the actor's costume. We just kept it very low key. Usually I'm very like color conscious, but I wasn't too pedantic with it this time.
I found it quite interesting. So tell me about the rehearsal time and how you prepared those actors and how they prepared themselves.
Right, so we have actually a detailed rehearsal process. So we'll actually take the characters, we'll get the actors, and they'll actually go through like the whole history of the character. So we'll come up with a questionnaire first, and like even basic stuff like what is your favorite food, like who's part of your family. We want the actors to actually know these characters inside out, stuff that's never actually going to come up in the film. But it becomes like the actors are wearing a second skin. So we'll go through like the history of Sam and Mia. Like one of our first rehearsals with them together, they actually went out on a date. So like it was if they met first time in Berlin and they went for a walk in the park, just like getting to know each other. We'll do another scene where like Sam, Mia and Becca are actually having a house party together, and you can see kind of Becca making like moving in on Sam a little bit, and we're seeing how Mia actually responds to that. So we do a whole bunch of different scenarios with that has like the history of the characters, and that gives like a shared history for the actors to draw upon. So when it actually comes time to shoot, they know these characters so well that they can like they're just like living and breathing the character. So it's natural for them to respond as the character.
Also, the actor choices. I'll have to say that the two women in particular are very beautiful, but they're not beautiful in the way that Hollywood has created beauty. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's actually very impressive, an important element to this story, isn't it? And the film.
It's important to see different bodies and different color skin as well in film. It's the first time we've sort of gone that diverse. Like we've had working in Australia, we were mostly working with white actors, and we had a lot of female-led films, but this time we have a mix of like female, male, obviously. And it was good to have a lot of options when we were casting Europe-wide because we had a lot of different ethnicities like applying. And
Well, yeah, that's the great thing about actually being based in Europe. Like when we're casting a film these days, we'll put up on one of the casting websites and like we'll get applications from pretty much all over Europe. So we're kind of spoiled for choice. I actually end up feeling sorry for actors, just how much competition there is out there. We're just making these little independent films, but like we have so much options. So, and in the end, they were the strongest auditions. Like even for Laura, we had a call back and we had a test like with chemistry with Jacob, like how we'll actually go together compared to like we had like another like actress that was shortlisted also, but Laura, just aced both auditions and she had fantastic chemistry with Jacob, so we end up going with her and no regrets.
And Jacob was someone that we wanted to work with because we found him through another casting for a different film, but he didn't fit the look that we wanted because he has that bun and everything. He looked too sweet for what we needed for the role. We're like, we need someone who looks a bit more dangerous because he's like a little sweetheart. So then we thought we want to work with this guy again. So we always kept it in the back of our mind because he's really lovely to work with and very talented.
Yeah, you know how like the directors always say to actors, "Oh, we'll keep you in mind for future roles," and the actors can't dismiss that. In the case of Jacob, we actually did keep him in
Like,
mind for
what can we
future
do with
roles.
Jacob?
Actually, that was quite an interesting choice because he's not an uber male in a sense or an alpha male. That actually gave the storyline a more credibility, if you ask me.
Agree.
He's not like this mega hunk that's walking around in a tight t-shirt that all the girls are falling over. Yeah, I know. I noticed
He's
that
there in
too.
Berlin, though. He's there in Berlin. He sits
With
Berlin.
the bun. We had the whole debate that we have his hair up or down because he has this really long hair, longer than my hair. His hair's really long and curly. Or like, no, we'll put it up in the bun.
We know you love listening to 3CR, but we also know that many of you haven't downloaded the Community Radio Plus app yet.
The app lets you tune in anywhere and share the station with your friends.
So, show the love and share the love. And search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
You're with Annie on Showreel. We're chatting with Sarah Jane Portelli and Ivan Malekin about their film After the Act, which is screening at Eclipse Cinema in Collingwood with a Q&A at 7 p.m. tonight, the 11th of December. This is the second part of our conversation. You really tease out quite a lot of things. They talk about that you have a very specific art house filmmaking style. I mean, you're diametrically opposed almost to the mega film of Hollywood. And there's a reason for that, isn't it? Tell me about your filmmaking, why you are doing what you're doing. Why is it important to you?
Well, yeah,
We don't want restrictions a lot of the time too. Like we can have more control if we're doing it this way ourselves. It does limit us a little bit if we want to do something crazy, but we're not doing big explosions anyway, so it doesn't matter for
Yeah,
us.
just these are the type of stories that interest us.
Yeah,
Like,
we're just doing what we want to do.
and of course we all wear our inspirations. Like I said, we watched a lot of Mumblecore,
We're
back
like
in the
lots
early
of hipsters.
2000s. So our style is similar to Joe Swanberg, I think, our improvised style, but we've also been trained in the Mike Lee method of improvisation, with Robert Marchand, actually Australian teacher. So yeah, we have like diverse inspiration. Even Eric Rohmer, like we just love kind of that slow observational approach to filmmaking. We're just kind of fascinated by human behavior and we just want to sit and observe what humans do and how they respond to like
And
conflicts.
that doesn't really fit into the Hollywood model, I guess, and the way people are making films. But also, our budgets are quite low too. So, micro budget, which is another thing.
That also intrudes into how long was the shoot?
6 days over 2 summers.
Yeah.
Oh,
It was
that's
literally
interesting.
only four days, like back in 2023. But then when we came back and we started editing the film, we felt like well, we want to actually expand the story of Becca
It felt like there was missing
more.
pieces.
Yeah, we felt we could actually do more with this story. So we went back the next year and added like some new scenes for like Becca and even Sam riding his bike. Pretty much, we just expanded the story. So it was 6 days, but it was spread over 2 years. So yeah, it's a slow film. It was a slow filmmaking
Yeah,
approach.
Becca got an apartment and some friends in a cafe, so we extended it, which I think is better.
No, I think it is too. It's interior, but it's got exterior. It's very normal. That's the purpose of it, isn't it? It's a normal
Yeah,
person.
exactly.
It's life, their life, and
Yeah,
that's why
exactly.
it
It's,
works. Yeah.
yeah.
Tell us about the editing too, because you said you actually created the story over time, and so the editing process must have been quite interesting.
Yeah, well, like improv, it can be difficult to edit at times because no take is ever the same, so continuity can be a challenge. But the more we've done it, like over the years, because this is actually our fifth improvised film, like the more specific we've gotten with our actual shots. So we won't just shoot like kind of wide, mid, close up, and just get a whole ton of coverage, and then just have to piece it all together in the edit. We'll just be like kind of, all right, for this scene, we know we just want to stick to this wide shot, and that's all we're going to film, and we'll just do several takes until we're happy. We do tend to cover things with two cameras, so it does give us more coverage. We can have a wide and a close up at exactly the same time. But yeah, as we went along with the edit and we see the story taking shape, we just felt like there's more we can add, and that's why we end up going back
But with
and
this
expand the story.
one, we had a DP. Sometimes we shoot our own work, and Dennis was just, he wasn't really big on doing those cutaways. I think I only saw like one or two cutaways in that film. Like the camera was always sort of moving and following, so it wasn't like, oh, we're going to get a cut up on all these little things in the apartment. It wasn't like that, so the camera was moving a lot, so I think that helps as well, the way the camera was
So yeah, when you're not
long
shooting like a
takes.
whole bunch of like different footage and different shots, then the editing doesn't it's not that challenging, because like this scene, we know it's going to be this way because that's all we have.
It's a little bit like visual poetry, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I saw it on the big screen for the first time yesterday, and there was the intimate scenes were really fast and quick. I'm like, whoa, the edit and the dance scene. I was quite impressed. It was the
Yeah, no,
first
I
time I
was
saw it. I'm
too.
like, gee,
They were quite
I'm glad I
powerful.
wasn't editing that.
That was very powerful. But the pacing's interesting because it goes to a certain, it's very slow to a certain degree. And then at certain points, when it reflects the emotional responses of all the people, it becomes quite fast.
Yeah, we pick up
It's
the
like a
pace.
slow heartbeat. All of a sudden, there's like a big ding, and then it goes down again, and you're just like waiting for something else to happen, and then it explodes again. It's just all built on their emotions, the way that they're feeling inside,
And so what
which
I'm
is the
thinking
reveal.
is that an instinctual thing? Did you had you did the edit, didn't you,
I
Ivan?
did that. Yeah, it is like it is instinct. Like I've been doing it for like close to 20 years now. So I don't think I'm a very technical editor. Like sometimes I DP my own films. I don't think I'm a very technical DP either, but like I could kind of go by
But you
just
can.
instinct. I know, okay, this shot should be framed like this. Like this edit, the pacing should be like this. So it's just something I developed like over the many years I've been doing it.
But you cut to music sometimes too,
Yeah.
like in the dance scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the breathing and the intimate scene was the breathing, I think, kind of the beats.
Oh, no, that's interesting because this is why you make films, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
the expression.
Yeah,
Yeah, and to
exactly.
keep learning and challenging ourselves
Yeah, well,
too.
we definitely don't do it for the money. So, yeah.
The other thing is, tell me about the sound and the music. It's always important, this sort of thing.
The sound was done by an Italian sound designer named Davide Perecco. This is actually the first time I've worked with him, so it was awesome. Like actually working with him, because like almost every day he'd be sending me like a new draft of the scene to review. Do you like this sound? Do you like this music? And just the communication, like it was fantastic. Like he was so collaborative, and I really liked working that way. And yeah, he done like the score is pretty minimal, but when he does introduce music, it really kind of enhances the motion on the screen. And in terms of, there's two songs featured in the film. They're both by Alexandra Carter, and they're two like kind of alternative pop songs that are just you've kind of found browsing on Spotify. I really liked her music, and when it came time to actually put this film together, I approached her. Look, I think this song of yours will really fit this scene. Do you mind if I use this track? Then she was happy to let me use this track. I sent her the film. She loves the results. So yeah, excellent.
It's quite flattering, really. But also tell me,
Yeah.
give me an insight into what it's like to go from Australia and then enter into what is effectively the independent film industry in Europe. How does that work for you? Yeah, tell people in Australia a little bit about your experience.
Sarah.
I don't know if it's much different. Like when we were in Malta, it was kind of similar. Everyone was close in there. Everyone was just making films like within their community. Like everyone knew everyone in Malta was kind of small. And it felt similar like that in Melbourne as well. Like you know who you want to work with because there's always like filmmakers around. And not always making anything for a lot of money or anything that goes into major festivals, but everyone's kind of working together and making films like that. And I heard Berlin's similar too, because we were looking to move to Berlin and we shot the film in Berlin. So we heard it's a similar kind of vibe. Everyone's just really chill and just wants to make films and not making it thinking that they're going to be like, you know, the next like big thing in Hollywood. They just want to make films and they just want to get together with their mates. And that's what we found kind of the
But
industry.
I also think just the kind of the international
Yes.
flavor that although your collaborators
I was going to say
when you're
that
based in Europe,
because our DP was from America, so he's got German roots. So he's known for bigger projects in the US. So when you get the chance to work with someone like that, like I don't think the film would have been had the same impact if we had shot it ourselves. Like honestly, like he brought a lot of that, like the emotion out with the camera and the way he shot it. If we had tried to do that ourselves, we wouldn't have had the same result at all. And working with someone internationally, if they say yes to your project, you should always be happy. I think we're very grateful for Dennis. He's back in the US filming now. So I think having being in Europe, like people can come in from everywhere and work. And I think that's what's different from Australia,
Well, we've
because
been talking to our actress, Laura, last night, and she's based here in Vienna, but she's traveling all over Europe for work. So she's going to Spain, she's going to Italy, she's going to Berlin for this shoot, and we're doing the same thing. We're in Vienna right now, and for us, it was just a 6-hour drive from Croatia, where we're based. So, if it was still Melbourne, 6 hours, we'll still actually be in Victoria. We wouldn't be able to stay
yeah, I
yet.
think
So,
that's the difference for us. We wanted to be out of Australia because we didn't want to be limited. Like, if there's a film festival somewhere in Spain, you're like, oh, I can't go because it's gonna have to be this far away and I have to like take this time off work. But here we can just like, oh, we can kind of work it out. We'll see if we can drive down there or something. So I think that's a big bonus for us. We can work with more international cast and crew.
The lack of distance makes a really, really big
Yeah, it
difference.
does.
And I guess also the like you said, Dennis wanted to work on a smaller film because it's one of the things I've observed doing interviews with people who work in film. People who are actors just want to act, and people who shoot films want some freedom to actually do it. And in a small project, you can actually put your personality into the work. That's one of the reasons for why Dennis was interested, isn't it?
When you get to you're kind of just on a small project, you can try different things. I don't think there's as much pressure. We all try and do our best, but there's probably not so much there's not millions of dollars at stake, and kind of finances and your big shot producers breathing down your neck to not make any errors, so you can be more experimental and you can take more risks. So that's one of the bonuses of working on small projects.
Is there anything I should have asked you that I haven't that you'd like to share? I mean, you're
No,
coming back
just
here to do a Q&A, which is pretty
yeah,
exciting.
we
So
are. So maybe we'll leave some questions.
just give a plug out to Eclipse. We're grateful for Mark.
Mark, yeah.
So he's a legend.
I've been following what he's doing with the cinema. He's really into it, like in all the film, and it's very interesting that he's trying to do that with the cinema. I think it's great. I
We're
can't wait to
looking forward
see
to meeting him. So
it.
yeah, can't
Yeah,
think of anything
what
else.
I was thinking was it's a lovely film to be in such an intimate cinema.
Yeah,
Exactly. Yes,
exactly.
we had a small cinema screening yesterday. It was 60 seats, and the discussion was so great. We were just sitting around afterwards talking with like the audience as well, and we were like trying to debate how what's happening at the end of the film and what happened before we saw Mia and Sam. So we're all trying to like put we think that this is going to happen and that. So we were having this really interesting discussion about the characters like we knew them. So I think it's good when you have a small and you feel the energy in the room too, I think.
No,
when
it's
it's a
quite, I
small.
mean, all these people want to go to big events, like musical events, but I tell you, going to an intimate performance of someone's so much more rewarding. And I think this approach to filmmaking and display is probably going to be have a comeback, actually.
We
I
hope
hope
so.
so.
Like we're actually really enjoying doing this. So like I was saying to Sarah, like for our next film, we're going to do exactly the same, just release it in cinemas and like go there for Q&As, because you kind of just meeting your audience and actually getting like your first-hand experience and seeing how people react to your work. Like, it's a reason we make films.
It can
So
be hard to get people to come to the cinema or to get the word out there, especially in Europe. Like we found that with Vienna, where it was hard to get because the film wasn't made in Vienna. We're not from here, so it was hard. That's another thing with like advertising, like living in Australia and living here. Once you have to have connections, I think, and have roots somewhere to actually be able to like find. Because if you keep moving around like we do, you haven't got your community. So when we had our community in Australia, it was okay. Everyone kind of knew what we were doing. But when we go to Vienna, we're like, hey, we've got this film. The local magazines are like, we don't know you. So it was really hard to get, yeah, we don't know you. Like you're not from Vienna. So no, we don't want to feature your film. It's like, but I need people to come to my cinema screening. So it was really tricky. I think that's another difference. Yeah.
One of the things about you, which I find really fascinating, is that you take yourself seriously. Like you, that's important. You actually put it out there and you say, come and have a look at my really great film. And everybody just goes, oh, okay. Which
Thanks, Annie.
is really
Thank
good.
you.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you so
Oh,
much. We do remember you back from the Made in Melbourne day, so it's actually great to chat with you
thank you for
again.
coming in.
But you have a good night.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it for Showreel this week. Tune in for the last show of the year next week before the Showreel summer season.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.